Hi, guys. Welcome to The Church Split. My name is Will, and you guys know what we do here. We help you escape your church's echo chamber, learn to think biblically, and, of course, challenge the status quo, which always needs challenging. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to leave us five-star reviews on all audio platforms and support us on Patreon if you would like. Now let's jump into it. Now, in this upcoming clip by Andrew Clavin, we have a very important thing to address. Now, for those of you guys who are not familiar, Candace Owens recently broke up with The Daily Wire, or The Daily Wire broke up with her. The details are kind of fuzzy on what really happened behind the scenes, and I'm sure we're going to get more and more juicy stuff to come out. People are going to be taking sides. And if you guys are not familiar with The Daily Wire, it's the absolute network that is a gigantic production now for conservative news and conservative journalism. And they have various people like Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, Ben Shapiro, Jeremy Boring, Andrew Clavin, and formerly Candace Owens. Now, I could have told you from a mile away that this probably wasn't going to work out very well. In fact, with Candace, when they brought her on, I was like, I don't know about all that. I mean, there's ties. Candace is awesome in areas that she's really good in and that she knows very well. There's other areas where I've been less than impressed because she's talking about things that she doesn't know as well, which is probably true for most anybody. That's not a dig. It's just the fact. We all have areas that we specialize in, and sometimes she's out of her specialty and it shows. Now, I also agree with her and disagree with her on various things. I agree and disagree with, you know, Ben Shapiro and literally any other host at The Daily Wire. So in this upcoming clip, though, with Andrew Clavin, as a Christian, he said some things that made me go, ooh, that is not true. So I feel like we should mention this. In his episode, he talks about anti-Semitism. And for those of you who are not aware, people are accusing Candace of being anti-Semitic. And I don't see any evidence of actual anti-Semitism. Like, people use that term very loosely, I feel like, half the time. And she even has like a 2-hour interview with this one rabbi who kept calling her anti-Semitic, called her bigot, and all, of course, the other leftist terminology that is usually used for buzzwords. And she played the clips to him and was like, did I say what you said in the article? And then he found some weird way to try to justify his slander against her. And everything I'm reading, I'm like, this is an anti-Semitic. Now, when the October 7th attack happened on Israel, that horrible, tragic day, where it was not just tragedy, it was evil, right? It is absolute evil. Soon after that, Candace tweeted, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God, blah, blah, blah. You cannot serve God, both God and money. And then, of course, Ben retweets it and is like, please, Candace, if accepting money from the Daily Wire is too much for you, please quit. you can quit or something like that. And as soon as you saw that, you're like, oh, yeah, this definitely isn't going to go very well. Ben Shapiro, like one of the founders of The Daily Wire, is having bad blood with you. And he still is kind of seeing red on that situation, understandably so, with everything happening in Israel, since it's very close to home in both his heart and his family. I understand why he would be. But also, you know, what people need to understand is that there are Christian pacifists as well that believe that peacemaking is the only thing that a Christian should do, and a Christian shouldn't respond violently, even in self-defense. So no matter what here, when you have one guy who's going to be pushing for war with the evil people and the other person saying that you should be a peacemaker and not trying to, you know, do all these different things with serving God and money, but especially the peacemaking aspect, those two are not going to get along probably very well in a professional environment like that, especially with everyone is very type A personality under the roof of the Daily Wire, right? That's why they are the talking heads. Usually those types of people are they're the ones where type A personalities and aggressive and opinionated and they don't move very easily. So I could have told you again, this was, you know, gasoline meets a match. And sure enough, that's what ended up happening. But Andrew Clavin kept talking about anti-Semitism, and I think some of his take was very weak in this episode. I actually like Andrew Clavin, but there are some things that I'm like, he didn't have the full picture. And he admitted, he's like, I don't know about these people. I know nothing about these people that he's referencing. So it made me go, okay, so you really don't know what you're talking about, but you're commenting other aspects of this. And I found his take to be enlightening because there are certain things he brings into the conversation that are actually really good to know. Same with Dave Rubin. Dave Rubin covered it. He brought in some things that I thought were interesting, but I would really like to hear, you know, Ben Shapiro's and Candace's take on the whole situation. But regardless, it's just drama in, you know, the political sphere, and that's all it really is. It's nothing that you're going to lose your mind over. However, Andrew Clavin said something that was very wrong in his episode that I definitely think needs to be addressed as a Christian, because we live in a time where Christianity is kind of becoming more and more milquetoast and kind of too scared to say the truth. And the reality is that Christ is the king, and he is the king of the universe. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He has ascended unto heaven. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. That is who Jesus Christ is. And if you deny him and reject him, you are against the king. And so that is an actual thing that scripture teaches. It is actually very well commonly known. Now, it's not to say that God can't show grace to people who don't know any better, where they never received the gospel, where a gracious king might, you know, show grace and mercy to this individual if they didn't know the law. But that's besides the point here. Andrew Cleave, I should also make sure I mention, there's also a crowd that is actually anti-Semitic, and they call themselves, and they'll say things like Christ the King, and they mean it in an anti-Semitic way. But that is not what everyone means when they say Christ is King. Christ is King is not an anti-Semitic term. It is simply not. And also pointing out that it was the leaders of the Jews that crucified Jesus is not anti-Semitic. Saying that the Jews as a whole crucified Jesus is not accurate, though, because the Jewish people were his disciples. They followed him. There's many Jews who also proclaim the name of Jesus. And so to just blame Jews full stop is a problem. However, there are many Jews who reject Jesus Christ, and that is indeed the problem. But some people, so what happens is a lot of people get really weird when it comes to some of these topics, and they will just throw out, like, and I've seen this while doing the church split, if a rabbi said something, like, well, that's a rabbi, they reject Jesus, therefore they can't be right. Well, that is anti-Semitic, because you can't, and that's also like the genetic fallacy. Like, a rabbi could be dead accurate when it comes to his interpretation of Genesis, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he's wrong in that department just because he rejects Jesus. Or just when you say all the Jews are now rejected by God, God hates the Jews because they rejected Jesus. That's anti-Semitic. When Christ died for, he says there's no Jew nor Greek. But anyway, these are all the things that we could talk about, but I don't want to get into that too much. So I just want to talk about what Andrew Clavin said. When he talked about this Christ the King crowd, he mentions that Christ is the King. He always has been the King. And then he says this.
One day, every knee will bow and recognize it, because he's not just my King, he's King of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked. You know, when you spit that phrase at Ben Shapiro, my friend Ben Shapiro, and you know, I understand this. All of you who love Ben, and I love Ben and Jordan Peterson, you all want to see them find Jesus, because you know what joy and freedom that gives you, and you certainly feel that it alters your relationship with God. But when I think about this, to be honest with you, you know, and I know some people will disagree with this, but life is not a game show where you guess the name of God and you get to go to heaven. Honk, you know, yes, the name is Jesus. I look at Ben's life, and I think if Ben were to embrace Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do. And as you know, I feel that, you know, the Jews were not abandoned by God. I feel the same way about Jordan. Jordan struggles with this stuff, and I feel like I have an inkling of why he has to struggle with it, but his struggle is inspiring to other people. And I think God wants his boys where he's got them, and there's no thought in my mind that he is going to send these guys into battle and then turn his back on them when they come marching home. It's not a game show. You know, Christ is love, Christ is truth, Christ is the logos of the moral order. You follow love, you follow truth, you follow the moral order, you will find yourself ultimately at Jesus Christ's door.
So I'm sure you can see part of the problem here, because once he starts mentioning Peterson's and Shapiro's faith, he kind of falters on his Christian values. And what's one of the coolest parts about Andrew Clavin is that he was a Jew who became a Christian. That is one of the coolest things ever when you see something like that happen. But he makes the blunder of saying something to the effect of, you know, if Ben converted Christianity would cause absolute devastation in Ben's community and his family life. And yes, that is true. And it would upend everything. That's the point. And it is not this whole like, well, he is, so therefore it's okay to reject Jesus. God has got his men right where he wants them. Yeah, God probably does have those guys right where he wants them, but he wants them most of all to come to repentance. God can use unbelievers. God can speak truth with unbelievers. All truth is God's truth after all. But if you guys already didn't think about it, look at this passage in Luke 14, verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him. So we could keep going in this, but you get the idea. He says, if you do not hate your father, mother, and literally everyone else over me and don't pick up your cross and follow me, you are not my disciple. And one of the things that would cause division in any church is if you let unbelievers in and be just equally a part of the church in leadership and, you know, fellowship and everything. Well, no, you need to have your spiritual elders who are believers. It doesn't mean that outsiders aren't welcome. It means that the institution has to be run by believers, right? You wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, anyone. Well, same thing with this. Salvation doesn't work that way where you can just go, well, you know, I believe God has him right where he wants him. And that's just all there is to it. Christ says, no, you have to be willing to give it all up for me. So yes, it would upend Shapiro's life, but that's the point. Christ is so good and so life-changing, so compelling that he makes the cost worth it, because to know Christ is to know your creator. That's the point here. This is what it means to take up your cross and follow him. To live rejected by the world, but accepted by Christ. The world, he says, will hate you, but they hated him first. But fear not, because he has overcome the world. This is the whole focal point of the Christian faith, to live a cruciform life in Christ, and that we ought to be willing to give up everything for his cause, because we love him so much because he first loved us. And that, you know, I might be rejected by men, but I'm accepted by God. And that's what matters. I'm accepted by God. I'm in covenant with the Messiah, and I will be there in the new creation to fellowship with my fellow man, to fellowship with God, and build a civilization and be part of this great thing that is the body of Christ. And because of that, we ought to live in such a way now that we are willing to give up everything, even our own lives, for Jesus Christ, as again, he did for us. That's the point. And Andrew Clavin completely missed it. And this happens a lot of times with political pundits or popularizers, things like that, because it's not popular to say these things. It's not, because it makes Christianity sound culty, but the reality is we are to be fully committed to our King. The idea of faith or faithful is this idea of a committed loyalty, like to a King, and swearing fealty to him. And then, you know, in addition, when he talks about Jordan Peterson, that Peterson struggles with this stuff. You know, the fact is, Dr. Peterson regularly dodges the question of if he believes in God, and he dodges proclamation in Christ and simply says, what matters is to live like there is a God. And he goes, after all, you'll be known by your fruits, right? And he points to that scripture saying it's better to just live with your fruits. But he also forgets that he needs to remember that we have to believe in God and in Christ. So even though Peterson will use the Bible to kind of justify his like retort, Peterson doesn't actually proclaim, and I really wish he would, because could you imagine the force that he would be if he fully committed to a walk in Christ? Not to mention, the Bible says that if you deny him before men, he will likewise deny you. Again, I love Peterson, but this is a major hole in his life. In Matthew 10:31, he said, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So if we deny him before people, he will deny us, is what it says. Again, these are not popular warm and fuzzy verses. These are just the verses that kind of hit you in the face. That's why it says if we were to, you know, confess with our mouth that he is the Lord, you know, we shall be saved. Because this idea of we can't just, you know, secretly do it. We have to swear fealty and be okay with that. I mean, think about it. His wife experienced a miracle of healing through prayer. His daughter came to the faith as a Christian, and he still hasn't proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ yet. So for Andrew Clavin to be fine, just be like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. That's a problem. Now, I appreciate that Jordan does wrestle with it, like Andrew did say there, that people relate to his wrestle. And it's fascinating to watch, but I feel like we're all fascinatingly watching on bated breath for him to finally go, I wrestled with it, and here's where I stand, and this is what I believe. And finally, we could all rejoice with him or pray that he comes to faith. Like, I really wish he'd just pick a side on it, because, again, of what Christ said, and that the Bible seems to be very clear that we are to proclaim his name. So, as to my knowledge, Ben and Jordan are still apart from Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are apart from the Father. If you watch even how Ben reacts to people like Dr. William Lane Craig and others when they come on his program to talk about Jesus, you can tell that it makes Ben uncomfortable. In fact, What Do You Meme, Jonathan McRae, he covered that, actually. Ben isn't a big fan of that, you can tell. Granted, of course, a lot of that also probably has to do with how Christians interpret various passages. They don't interpret them very well for a Jewish audience. So I think it makes Ben like, that's not what Isaiah 53 is getting at. And is you didn't, but if you come at Christ with a proper suffering servant angle, as opposed to like, well, this is God punishing Jesus. Ben's going, though, in the Hebrew and in the context, this idea of God punishing somebody doesn't make sense. Well, if you take Isaiah 53 and the idea of a suffering servant martyr for the people, well, then it can actually probably make more sense to a Jewish audience. But either way, that's neither here nor there, because regardless, Ben is not a dumb person. He is a very smart person, and he could research it, but he chooses actively right now, currently, to reject Christ. And hear me out. I want them to come to Christ, not because I just want big influential people on my side, because I want everyone in the covenant with Jesus Christ, and because it's a life-changing covenant, and plus it'll finally connect the threads for Ben on many things that are probably still not connected quite in theology, because rabbinic Judaism is very different, and it would actually help Jordan finally connect why all these things that he's constantly talks about truly matter down to his very soul. And that is why Christ says, yeah, we need to be willing to give up everything for him, because in him is enough. He in him is the water which we can drink from, which we will never thirst. He is the bread of life, to which we will never hunger again. He is the fullness of God in man, and therefore we can partake in him. And that's the whole point of communion and all these things. We can partake in Christ, and his life is fulfilling enough for us, and we ought to be willing to do that. And that's why we're to be part of the body of Christ, part of the church, and part of the fellowship that we reside in, because that there is where community is built. That right there is our family, and we ought to continue to try to reach our actual family if they reject us, but we at least have a family in Jesus Christ, and that is ultimately the point here. So as far as I can tell, Ben and Jordan are both still lost, and they deserve our prayer, but we shouldn't be giving it a free pass either. Like, Andrew Clavin is closer to them than probably any of us. And I'm like, dude, this is not the time to be brushing the issue under the rug. This is the time to be proclaiming the name of Christ to them in the kindest way possible and in the most likable way possible, and using your close friendship with them as a way to get the gospel to them. So, point is here, be careful not to just accept what your favorite commentator says. There's a lot of commentators, but their specialty is social economics, cultural issues. And Andrew Clavin's case, he tends to be a very good writer. That's the point. Andrew, I'm sure, is actually probably familiar with these passages, but these are, after all, because these are, after all, quite well known. However, for the sake of probably business relations and friendships, he was willing to back off the truth here, I think. But I don't know for sure, but I feel like that was the case. Regardless, I am thankful for Andrew Clavin. I actually do enjoy his show, and I am so thankful for his testimony and for him being willing to talk about his faith in Jesus Christ, and that he is, but I do believe he's emphatically wrong in this area. And I think he is incorrect, and perhaps he would agree with that if he, you know, took time to think about it. People challenge and had a friend or a pastor friend of his challenge him in this area. But just because somebody is wrong in an area doesn't mean that we throw them all out and say that they're all wrong. But I feel like it needed to be said, where we need to be careful not to give our close friends and family a pass just because they are our close friends, family, or even colleagues. So otherwise, this is just right now a cautionary tale that these guys are really cultural commentators. They're not pastors. They're not theologians. And so be careful when you're listening that you don't just buy everything they say hook, line, and sinker. So tell me, guys, what do you think of Andrew Clavin's comments? Do you think that we will be, that Ben and Jordan will be in heaven? Do you think God has his men right where he wants them? Let me know in the comments below. Otherwise, I'll see you next time on The Church Split. And guys, if you want to avoid seeing obnoxious ads like this,
we gotta be strong, we gotta be healthy. When you wanna feel nice and strong and satisfied, you gotta check out Good Ranchers. Right now, go to goodranchers.com, use promo code Knowles.
Or that.
We also wanna thank Free Life Soap, because I don't know about y'all, but I got a new shipment of soap
in.
And it was great.
Or this.
Hi guys, my name is Will, and I'm here to tell you why you should be a student at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary.
Or that.
To get to that momentarily, first, I want to talk to you about Daily Wire's most trusted privacy partner and premier sponsor of this show, ExpressVPN. Are you aware that your browsing data is constantly being tracked and monitored?
Please support us on Patreon. We do not want to annoy you filthy heretics with any sort of ads on this show.
So when you're a Patreon subscriber, you also get access to our apologetics classes and other video content a whole month.
You can support us on Patreon for as low as $1 a month.